Welcome to Rock Talk here on M80A. That's a little rock version of the Carol of the Bells for you, just to get things started off for a very special Christmassy edition of Rock Talk. I'm your host, Yo, and one of the things I want to do tonight is introduce our new co-host that will be joining us in 2009. Why? I don't know, just to make things a little bit more interesting. So Mandy's going to be joining us starting 2009, but she's going to sit in tonight as we talk all about Christmas. I thought it'd be a good time to bring in our new co-host, Mandy Mayer. Mandy, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. And real quick, why don't you give everyone a quick biographical sketch of yourself so they can get to know you?
Oh, my. Well, I started working here at M88 and KNKT, actually, our sister station, about 2 years ago, year and a half, 2 years ago. And since then, I've been working at the front desk. And then last November, I started working as the news director here. And now, I don't know, I'm really excited to see what God does with this, and he's blessed some of the things that that I've done here at Calvary and at the station, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, you're here to keep me on my toes and keep me honest and, you throw me for a loop every now and then, and I know you're perfectly capable of doing that. So I'm looking forward to having you on the program all throughout the upcoming year.
Oh, me too. Thanks so much.
Well, tonight what we want to do, if you didn't catch on with that little introduction of Carol of the Bells, although, by the way, have you ever heard that done with a handbell choir?
I don't believe I have, but I was jamming out to that one just now, so that was pretty exciting.
Yeah. If you ever get a chance to hear it done with a handbell choir, mm-hmm. one of the most beautiful things you can hear. I love handbell choirs to start with, but when they do that, it's absolutely amazing. So if you ever get a chance, go check that out. There's some churches here in town I know that actually
really?
Have handbell choirs and put on recitals, I guess. Is that what you call it?
I believe that's what they would be called. I've heard some other songs done with handbells, and it does sound nice, so I might look into that.
Isn't a recital what you do with a piano?
Not necessarily. You
okay.
can do it with many different instruments, I believe.
All right. Well, you're the news director, so we'll go with what you say. Well, anyway, if you get a chance to hear a handbell choir, do that. But with that introduction, what we want to talk about tonight is what makes Christmas special for you. And here's the reason I thought now would be a good time to do this. I actually went out and did my the rest of my Christmas shopping. Mm-hmm. Stocking stuffers is what I was shopping for this weekend. And I was astonished at how many people were out and about at stores. And I hate to admit it, but I had to go to the mall to get something.
Oh, yeah.
Which I avoid like the plague at Christmas.
I understand that. I worked at the mall once.
Did you really? Where'd you work at the mall?
I used to work at Kirkland's in Coronado Mall, which is no
really?
Longer there. But
wow.
I worked a Black Friday once and the entire Christmas season. So
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I try to steer clear of that area.
Yeah, it was packed. But what it got me thinking about was the fact that we get so caught up with mm-hmm. everything that's going on during the season. Got parties to plan for, packages to buy and mail out, presents to wrap and put under the tree, baking to do, all the stuff that, you know, if you got kids, they got programs that they're in, you got stuff to do at work, you know, with the work parties. And it's so easy to get caught up with that and stressed out and feel mm-hmm. overwhelmed, and you just don't even get a chance to take a breath. I thought, you know, tonight would be the collective as we take a moment to think about, whoa, why are we making such a big deal out of this time of year in the first place? So what Mandy and I want to do is we want to hear from you. 505-338-5790. What makes Christmas special for you? Why do you celebrate Christmas at all? What is the big deal? You know, what are your favorite Christmas songs? Why do you have favorite Christmas songs? What are some of your favorite Christmas traditions? And why do you have these traditions? What do they mean to you? We cannot lose the meaning of Christmas in the midst of everything that's going on. And so we collectively are just going to take some time tonight to talk about what Christmas means to us. Why is it special? And why is it so worth celebrating? Our pastor made a very interesting point today that I thought was really fascinating. He's talking about how he was at a local coffee place getting a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. And he was sitting there and he caught himself humming along with the music. And it was like, O Come Emmanuel or something like that. Mm-hmm. Playing, you know, in a regular restaurant type place. And it suddenly struck him how interesting that our culture tries so hard to, you know, not make a big deal out of Christ being in Christmas, you know, so we don't want to offend anyone. You know, there are people like to celebrate Christmas too, not just Christians. And so, you know, that's always kind of pushed to the sideline. And yet everywhere you go, I notice it too, you know, at stores, mm-hmm. you hear all these songs about Christ from starting about some places Halloween all the way through the end of the year, mm-hmm. songs about Christ play. And I just find it so fascinating that no matter how hard our culture tries, Christ is an inevitable part of this time of year.
Well, and something else that I've noticed is the nativities, surprisingly yeah. enough. You see them everywhere, despite people saying Xmas or holiday or whatever they say that people find very controversial. Those nativities are still there. And that is a very direct representation of Christ. Obviously, it is him in a little statue, but it's surprising to me, you know, with the songs and then the nativities and just many other things that come out of the woodwork during Christmas time, where even though they're trying to call it by a different name, whether it's right or wrong, which we could also discuss tonight, what your guys' opinions are on that. But despite them trying to remove Christ out of Christmas, they're putting up things that show him very clearly. And it's very surprising.
And they do it because it's tradition.
Yeah.
They don't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is just what you do at Christmas. Well, we want to talk about why do we do this at Christmas. So what are your favorite Christmas songs? What are your favorite traditions? Why is Christmas so special? You tell us, 505-338-5790, because we want to make this a time where we all talk about this. You know, we're all celebrating this. Christians all get excited about Christmas, and mm-hmm. we get upset when people try to take Christ out of Christmas. But why? Why is it such a big deal? Why is it so important to us? Why is it so important to you? 505-338-5790. So, Mandy, what are some of your family's favorite Christmas traditions, and why do you have these traditions?
Well, we have two specific ones that really stand out to me. And something I just want to point out tonight is not all traditions are going to be directly based off of Christ, and I know it's shocking, but
you can't do that.
But let me give an example.
Okay.
Christmas Eve, so not the day before Christmas, but
December
23rd, right? Two
Got
days
it.
Before Christmas,
right.
My family has always gone to Dion's just because, and it really it's just time to spend with family, and it has no meaning other than that. But you know, something you pointed out to me the other day is that spending time with family during the holidays and during Christmas specifically can be so glorifying to God, you know? And so we can look at Christmas and say, you know, this is a time to worship Christ and his coming to earth to live here for us and then to die for us. And even though this isn't something that specifically has his name in it, it is still glorifying to him. So I wanted to kind of point out to everybody that, you know, traditions don't always include, you know, reading scripture or anything like that. And there's nothing wrong with that, obviously. That's wonderful. But that's something I wanted to point out. The other tradition that we have is every year, each of the children in my family, there's six of us, we each get an ornament. And it's been since I was, you know, really little that we've done this.
What kind of ornaments do you get?
You
Does
know
it matter?
No, it's just, it's something that either we have picked out or that our parents have picked out. And, you know, of course, whenever I was younger, I wasn't really into Barbies. I was more into dinosaurs and stuff like that. And
really?
So I had a lot of ornaments that were weren't exactly girly, but that's something we
not
were raised
on. Not that there's
on.
Anything wrong
no,
with that.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
Of course not.
I got Batman ornaments all over my tree. My wife buys me a new Batman ornament just about every year.
See, there you go. And it really doesn't matter. Our Christmas tree, I'm used to one filled with just ornaments of every kind. And so every year we get the ornament, and then whenever we pull out all the ornaments, we each hang our own ornaments. So we'll pull out all the ones that that our parents have gotten us over the years, and we hang them. But we do have four very special ornaments that we hang on our Christmas tree, and they're actually ones that my dad specifically hangs, and they are little angels for each one of the brothers or sisters that I've lost, that we've lost in my family. And so those get hung. They're just little angels that we hang at the top of the tree, and that's something that my dad does every year. And so that's another one that's really special to us, and it just has a lot of meaning behind it. And again, it's one of those traditions that I believe is very glorifying to God, because we're remembering that, but we're able to remember our family and our loved ones at the same time as we're remembering Christ and him coming to earth for us. So those are two really, you know, one that's kind of crazy and one that has a little bit of a deeper meaning to us.
Me and my wife get like a romantic ornament each year. That we didn't. Oh, remember, this was like our first Christmas together.
Aww.
And the thing that we noticed is that you can find our first Christmas together but you can't really find many after that.
The 13th Christmas right, Together doesn't exist?
No, they don't make those, which is always kind of frustrating because I'm thinking, man, this is actually our 10th Christmas Together. Mm-hmm. It was our 9th anniversary of the summer, but mm-hmm. we got married, and so like our Christmases are one ahead.
Right.
I don't understand the math, but that's the way it worked out. So I was looking around trying to find, like, you know, the 10th mm-hmm. anniversary Christmas ornament, and apparently a certain card company doesn't make that.
Huh.
Oh, very disappointing. I was thinking of writing
everything.
In.
You should write your own card.
I should make my own Christmas ornaments. Isn't that sweet? It's made of paper mache in the shape of something.
Something creative?
Yeah, well, anytime I tried to make something, it always ended up looking like an ashtray.
Oh.
I remember doing crafts, and that's the best you could do with some kind of bowl that looked like an ashtray.
I don't remember the ashtray. I do remember all the Christmas crafts we used to make, though, whenever I was in elementary school, mid school. Mostly just elementary school. But I don't remember the ashtray.
That's the way mine always turned out. I don't know why. Well, we want to know what kind of Christmas traditions are special to you and why. And in fact, the first person that calls in to share a Christmas tradition, one Christmas tradition that a lot of people have is a Christmas Carol,
mm-hmm.
a story by Charles Dickens.
Okay.
I had a chance to talk with a good buddy of ours recently, and he was talking about how the story of A Christmas Carol has a lot more Christian meaning than most people mm-hmm. give it credit for.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking with him, and it was really interesting because he gave this quote, and it was basically Charles Dickens saying that in all of his writings, he aspires to glorifying his God. But he didn't tell me who the quote was from.
Right.
And if you hear the quote, you think, oh, yeah, it's probably C.S. Lewis. But no, it's actually Charles Dickens.
Interesting.
And A Christmas Carol is one of those stories that he does that. Anyway, so Steve Skelton, the guy I was talking to, has this church edition of A Christmas Carol and The Night Before Christmas, where in the margins he has all mm-hmm. these notes that point out the imagery from A Christmas Carol that relate directly to redemptive analogies from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really interesting is he pointed out that in the 19th century, when those were written, that the society at that time would have no trouble identifying that imagery.
Right.
Because church was a part of the culture at that time. But today, it's so far removed that we miss it. You know, back then, Charles Dickens didn't need to explain all mm-hmm. the imagery and write out, well, what this represents is because people naturally understood what it represented
right.
because of how ingrained church was as a part of that culture. Well, today, you know, 2 centuries later, it doesn't quite work that way. So he has this new church edition of A Christmas Carol and The Night Before Christmas, where he goes through and points out all these Christian parallels and some of the very interesting history that went into the writing of these stories. And so the first person who calls up to share one of their favorite Christmas traditions or your favorite Christmas song and why it's your favorite Christmas song, basically the first person who calls in and tells us what makes Christmas special to you will give you a copy of these church editions of A Christmas Carol and The Night Before Christmas. So give us a call, 505-338-5790, and tell us, why is Christmas special? Because you know what? We live in a world, as well you know, Mandy, mm-hmm. that has no idea.
Right.
And they've kind of gotten to the point where, like, I don't really care. It's fun. I'm having a good time. The meaning is gone. And so we want to talk about the meaning. 505-338-5790. First person calls up, we'll hook you up with a copy of those stories.
Well, and you brought up a very good point as far as people not knowing or not being able to identify meaning behind some of these old stories, like A Christmas Carol, for example. And it just kind of reminded me of just some of the ways that we as believers will look at terms at Christmas, whether it be, you know, Xmas or holiday or anything like that. And also stories. I've heard some people talk about the Christmas Carol as in negative terms because of the ghosts that are in it.
Steve Skelton actually addressed that. It was
right.
very fascinating.
Right. So, and, you know, I kind of want to get everybody else's opinion on that. What are your opinions on, you know, the Christmas Carol and, you know, what that looks like to you, the ghosts or, you know, I don't know. I've heard some pretty crazy things about that one and many other Christmas stories. The Grinch, how, you know, we shouldn't look at Christmas in any negative terms. And a lot of people I've heard actually talk about the Grinch in that fashion.
Huh.
And it was just really interesting to me. So I kind of want to hear everybody else's opinions on maybe movies that they've seen put down, whether you think that there's something that's wrong with looking at Christmas as anything other than watching the nativity story or, you know, just anything like that. I would really like to get people's opinions on that.
Yeah, don't get me started on the nativity story. I got a strong opinion on that. And yes. And it's not that I didn't like the movie. I actually really did like mm-hmm. the movie. But my opinion centers on something else. You know, it was interesting because Steve Skelton actually addressed that whole ghost issue uh-huh. with A Christmas Carol. And he said he was talking to a pastor about it. And it was very interesting because this pastor said that a guy approached him one time and said, you know, I come in here every week and I hear you talk about these amazing, fantastical, supernatural things. And so now I wanted to tell you one of mine.
Right.
And he basically had a ghost story to tell. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the pastor's initial reaction is like, well, those aren't the same. But then when the pastor took some time to stop and think about it, it's like, well, you know, they may not be the same, but to an outsider, they would certainly have a hard time distinguishing between traditional ghost stories and the supernatural things mm-hmm. that we talk about from the Bible. And this pastor finally realized, man, we got a bridge right here mm-hmm. to relate to people. And who knows? You know, as Steve Skelton suggests, you know, that may have been part of Charles Dickens' thinking mm-hmm. that this people believe in the supernatural. Whether they believe in the biblical version or, you know, the Hollywood version, there is a lot of belief in the supernatural. Mm-hmm. And that can be used as a bridge to point them to the biblical version. Because people who are ready to believe in the supernatural certainly already are partway to a belief in God.
Right, right.
Which I always thought was a very interesting point.
No, that's true, because I think that if you're able to believe in something outside of what we can see, then, you know, there's definitely that halfway there thing, you know?
All right, well, 505-338-5790, if you'd like to call in and share, why is Christmas special to you? What are your favorite Christmas songs? Why? What are your favorite Christmas traditions? And why? Why is the season so special? That is something we need to be reminded of ourselves so we can also point it out to others. So give us a call, 505-338-5790. And we have Amy on the line. Amy, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Amy? Hello, Amy. Amy, are you there?
Are you talking to... Am I on the radio?
Yes, Amy, are, Amy.
This is not Amy.
Oh, I'm sorry. So who's this?
This is Tara. I'm sorry. I'm like...
No, that's all right, Tara. That's okay.
You're on, Tara.
Yes, you are,
hey,
Tara.
Sweet, how are you?
I am well.
We're doing great.
Person who's not Amy, but is actually Tara. Welcome to Raw Talk, and tell us a little bit about your favorite Christmas stuff.
Well, when I was a kid, my favorite was, you know, when they had the lights on the tree, because it just looked so beautiful once it was all decorated. Before that, it was just a tree, you know?
Right.
I love it now because my family actually isn't saved. So that's all the more reason you can point to Jesus.
Hmm.
It's like even people who don't believe in God, they know what Christmas is about. People who don't believe, they have nativity scenes and they put Jesus out on Christmas. He wasn't born till Christmas, you know. So I think it's just a fabulous way to glorify God. And then, you know, in public, instead of saying, Happy holidays, joyful season, blah, blah, blah. Say, Merry Christmas, mm-hmm. you know. I just think it's a open door to glorify Christ in it.
It certainly gives us a better opportunity than just about any other time of the year because most people are a lot more receptive to it this time of year than they are other times, aren't
Definitely.
They?
Definitely.
Well, Tara, thank you so much for calling in. And you know what? Hold on, because we got a copy of A Christmas Carol and The Night Before Christmas that we want to give you, the church editions, which I think you might find really interesting. So hold on, all right, Tara?
Yo, can you do me a favor?
Yeah,
can
sure.
Can you give that to the second caller?
You betcha. I will give it
awesome.
To the person who comes up next. Not a problem.
Thanks, Tara.
Thank you so much. God bless you guys.
God bless you too.
Well, thanks for calling in, Tara. And if you'd like to call in and share, why is Christmas special to you? Give us a call, 505-338-5790, and join in on the conversation tonight as we talk about together, why is Christmas special? We should remind people that. And you know what? If you got a favorite Christmas carol that you know has a lot of meaning for you, we'll play a clip of it for you as well. I'd love to hear some Christmas music on tonight's program because I just love Christmas. Do you love Christmas music?
I love it. Like I said, I was kind of rocking out to that song that we came into. So
Carol of the Bells.
Darn right.
It's a good one. I'm thinking this one is Amy. Is this Amy?
Yes, this is Amy.
Hey, Amy. Welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Well, one of the favorite things I like to do is, like you all were talking about earlier with the ornaments, only we get one that reminds us as a family of what was important to us that year. Mm. And so one year we may get something on a vacation, or when we have a new baby, we get a new baby ornament for the baby. And one of my favorite things is pulling all the decorations out, decorating the tree, and remembering why we picked the ornaments that we did.
You know what? We just did that today. We went out and got a Christmas tree today. And as a family, my little girls got out their Christmas ornaments, and they really get into it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fun.
Yeah, and they get so excited because they start, "This one's yours, Daddy. Here you go." It's like, "Yes, yes, that one's mine. Thank you." And they know whose ornaments belong to everyone. They don't quite know the reasons that, you know, they belong to certain people, but it's so much fun. And, of course, they put them all in the same spot on the tree. So there's, like, one spot about 3 feet off the ground that's covered in ornaments, and we gently redistribute them. But it's one of my favorite traditions.
Yeah, and now that I've got little girls, what I've started doing is I buy duplicates of the same ornaments.
There you go.
When they grow up and they have their own families, they can take the same ornaments with them to their families. So every year when we have the little ones, now I'm buying 3 ornaments, one for my tree that I'm not going to give up, and then one for each of them, too.
That's cool. We restarted another tradition this year that I remember from when I was a kid. You know those little glass ornaments, the
right.
round red bulbs, sometimes they're clear, sometimes they're red.
Right.
We used red. Well, anyway, as a kid, my parents always had to buy a new package of those because inevitably we'd drop about 4 or 5 of them and they break. Well, today, nothing broke, but my girls reminded me of that as they dropped about 6 ornaments going up to the tree. Like, "I got an ornament!" Boom. "Oops! Good thing it was plastic, huh, Dad?" It's like, "Yeah, that's all right, sweetie. Daddy did that a lot when he was growing up, too." So it was a lot of fun. Hey, Amy, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
And we have a copy of A Christmas Carol and The Night Before Christmas, the church editions, to share with you. So hang on, and we'll get your info and get that to you, okay?
Great. Thank
All right. You bet,
All right,
Amy.
Thanks,
Merry
Amy.
Christmas. Well, 505-338-5790 if you'd like to call in and share your favorite Christmas traditions or a favorite Christmas carol. And you know, we'll play part of that Christmas carol for you because it's Christmas.
I want to hear some Christmas songs, guys. Let us know.
What's your favorite Christmas carol, Mandy?
I actually have a couple different ones. I think I've always liked O Silent Night. It's just one that I've always loved. But I kind of... lean towards some very whimsical songs as well. I'm a big fan of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Yeah, we won't be playing that.
No, definitely not. But
Drew's over there shaking his head. He's like, "I don't know where to find that."
No, but really, I think
Do we play New Kids on the Block? I don't think we do.
I think it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's fun to just throw in a, you know, a Christmas Billboard album and just listen to it with your family as you're, you know, baking or anything like that. And I know you brought up earlier, how people can get really preoccupied with, you know, the baking and the shopping and decorating and all that kind of stuff. But me personally, baking to me is actually a really calming thing because my mom and I would get together every year, and my sister as well, who's now living in Montana, but usually we'll get together every year and just bake, and we bake for everybody. So, you know, we have buckeyes and pecan crescents and all these different cookies that we just, you know, every year, of course, we'll experiment with another cookie, but everybody goes back to their favorites. And so, you know, that to us is kind of a really neat thing about Christmas. It makes it really special just to be able to get together and just get in the kitchen. It's a lot of fun for us.
That is a lot of, I don't like baking. I like the results of baking. I got to be honest with that. But I do enjoy baking with my wife. Mm-hmm. And we do a little bit of baking every year. We did the sugar cookies where you frost them.
Right.
And decorated those with my kids. It's something that I did with my parents when I was growing up. My mom would bake cookies. We all had to decorate them. And I don't know if I should share this on the air, but I will anyway.
Go for it.
When me and my brothers were little, we started this tradition. You know, you cut out the sugar cookies in certain shapes of snowmen.
Mm-hmm.
We'd always make one snowman that we'd frost white and put a little spot of yellow on it. And I won't explain why, for those of you who don't get the joke, why we put a spot of yellow on it. But we've been doing that for about 20 years now, and no matter who makes them, we always say, "Hey, did you make a snowman this year?" "Yes, I did." "Put the yellow on it?" "You betcha." "All right, good. We needed at least one of those." but Manny was talking about Silent Night. Madrid, do we have a little clip of Silent Night that we can play here in just a moment? So we can play a little bit of one of Mandy's favorite songs, and give us a call. What are your favorite Christmas songs? What are your favorite Christmas traditions? Why is this season special to you? That's what we want to explore. And, you know, you might be thinking, well, you guys haven't talked about anything deeply spiritual yet. Like I told Mandy, I think there's a lot of profound spirituality in the fact that families enjoy being together. God instituted the family.
Mm-hmm.
God's body is a family. God is all about the family.
Right.
I mean, one of the things I learned doing the Truth Project is if you look at the Trinity, the whole concept of a social structure is right there in the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they pointed out, there was no such thing as aloneness until man was created and before Eve came along.
Right.
That was the first time in the history of the universe where this thing aloneness came up, which kind of struck me kind of heavy. It's like, man, that's deep.
Well, and not only that, but it, you know, strikes me even more that God looked at that, and that was the first thing, and he said, this isn't good.
Right.
Yeah, everything else, he said, this is all great. This is good. This is good. This is good. And then the second he saw Adam alone, you know, it was the first thing he said, this is not good at all.
Well, it's part of why I enjoy family so much at Christmas, because it is a representation of the structure of the Trinity, mm-hmm. the interaction of the Trinity, the enjoyment of fellowship in the Trinity. It's just an innate part of the character of God, and I think it's a grand thing. I thought it was so cool. It's like, wow, that was, oh, okay, well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Well, 505-338-5790, if you have a favorite Christmas tradition that you want to share, a favorite Christmas carol, anything of the sort, give us a call, 505-338-5790. Let's share together what makes Christmas special. We have Lana on the line. Lana, welcome to Rod Talk. And what do you have to say, Lana?
I'm sorry?
What do you have to say, Lana? What makes Christmas special to you?
One thing that my family does every year, and I've told Mandy this.
Lana.
Hi, Mandy. one thing that my family does every year is we gather around the Christmas tree, and my dad reads the Christmas story from the Bible.
Oh.
And it's just a really great way to kind of bring things back to Jesus, make sure that we remember that the Christmas season is all about him, and our lives are all about him. It's just a really special way to spend the night.
Now, my dad did the same thing, but I'm kind of curious. Did you have trouble sitting still when your dad did that as a kid? Because to my regret, I remember my dad saying, all right, kids, we're going to do this now. And the whole time he was reading the story, I'm looking under the tree, assessing, okay, which present am I going to open as soon as he's done? That one there on the left looks good. But yeah, maybe I should start over here on the right. Did you have that problem, or is that just me?
No, we never really had that problem.
Oh, great. It's just me.
All right.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That brings back some memories for me.
Definitely.
Apparently not good ones.
Thanks, Lana.
I called her Lana because I was thinking of Lana Lang from, you know, Superman.
It's
but that's
Lana.
My mistake. Sorry, Lana. And so we got a little clip of Silent Night, Madrid. All right, we're going to play a little bit of Silent Night, one of Mandy's favorite Christmas carols. If you have one that you'd like to hear, we'd love to do that for you. 505-338-5790 as we remember what makes Christmas special. Silent Night there for you. It's a version from Casting Crowns here on Raw Talk. It's Yo and Mandy
hanging
out with you guys as we talk about what makes Christmas special. And I just love talking about Christmas. It's one of my favorite things to do. And right now we're talking with David. David, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say, David? Hello, David.
Hello.
Hey, David. Tell me,
hey,
what makes Christmas...
How are you?
I'm doing good. So tell me, what makes Christmas special to you?
Well, you know, I've been talking with you every now and then, and one of the things I never told you is that I come from a big Polish family and an even bigger Irish family.
Wow.
And one of the things we used to do until my family and I moved out here to New Mexico is we'd get... All the family would get together in Connecticut, and we'd have a huge cultural dinner. And one of the things that the Irish side of my family really enjoyed was the Polish cookies that my my grandmother and my grandfather would bake, which are called kolaczki. They're a vanilla cookie with kind of like a jelly topping on it with powdered sugar. And they would look forward to every Christmas, not only to spend time with the family and everything, but for the food, because it was such a cultural difference for the two different sides.
Hmm. That's really interesting. We did something kind of similar. My mom's side of the family has a Scandinavian heritage, and so she would make a Fuddyman, a type of cookie as well, and some other things that were special. And then my dad's a Kansas boy, and so that's where we got a lot of our traditional American side of it. But what a great time to incorporate traditions from, you know, all walks of life into your Christmas celebration, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I come from a very Roman Catholic by religion, and I wear an Irish Trinity cross, which you were mentioning God represents family, and I've never found that more true than in the cross that I wear. I used to wear a mariner's cross because my parents gave it to me one year for Christmas, and then I found a Trinity, an Irish Trinity cross, and it represents everything that God is, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, which is just one great big family because we all come from God.
Mm-hmm. Well, David, thank you so much for calling in and sharing what makes Christmas special to you. You know what? Hang on, and if you'd like, I got a copy of A Christmas Carol and The Night Before Christmas Church Editions to give to you if you'd be interested in that.
Yeah, sure.
All right, hold on, and we'll get that to you. And you have a Merry Christmas, okay, David?
Merry Christmas,
you
David.
You too, man.
All right.
All right, well, you know, like David was talking about, something that actually struck me was just that cultural difference, you know, and it kind of reminded me, I know we don't really have anything in my family that's specific to that, but I remember this one year, my grandmother who lives up in Canada sent us Kinder eggs. And what those are, it's chocolate eggs that have a toy on the inside of them, which, you know, you have the best of both worlds. You have toy and chocolate. What could get better than that? So, you know, that's something that I would love to hear from more people, because I know that there's a lot of different cultures here in New Mexico and in the United States in general. And so, if any of you guys have things that are, you know, specific to your families, or, you know, I know some people for their Christmas, you know, meals, they'll put red chili on their mashed potatoes, which is just one thing that, you know, reminded me of. And so, you know, if you guys have anything like that, I don't know if you do, Yo, but if you do, maybe that's something that makes Christmas special to you, and we'd love to hear about it. You can call in at 505-338-5790 and let us know. We really, really want to hear about these things that just make Christmas what it is for you.
I love Christmas, and I came from not a big family. I had three siblings, so there's four kids and then my parents. But what was interesting for a lot of our Christmases, we spent a lot of them overseas because my dad was in the military. So we spent a lot of Christmases over in the Philippines, and then we spent several in Turkey. And when you're overseas celebrating, one of the things that I remember most about, especially our Christmases in the Philippines, is how the entire base community would come together to celebrate Christmas. Because often you are in a culture where, you know, Christmas was celebrated, but not quite the way it was back home.
Right.
You know, and so there was some great events where, like, the lighting of the base Christmas tree that everyone came out. And yeah, it was a really lame tree because you just couldn't get a really good Christmas tree, mm-hmm. you know, overseas necessarily. But everyone came together, and it was so special because we were together as a big family, basically, when we were overseas on a base community. And I just remember, it was just an unusual feeling that you don't get a whole lot here in the States. I remember the first time we came back from the Philippines, I was asking my dad about that. I was like, I don't understand. It's like, well, you know, you're an isolated community and people band together a lot more because you have so much in common. Here you got so many choices of where to go. And so that was always really special. Speaking of my dad, if people don't mind me sharing, my dad always made Christmas special. My dad was a chaplain in the Air Force, and before that he was a Baptist pastor. And I can't think of anyone who knew how to make the season special as much as my dad. He would do several things. We'd celebrate Advent both in the church and at home. I love the Advent season. We still celebrate it today. And Advent is just a time of preparation and remembrance. And some people might say, well, it's not an ordinance of the Bible. Yeah, maybe. But, you know, the Bible tells us to remember, and the Bible certainly tells us to prepare. It doesn't use the word Advent, but, hey, I think it's a great tradition.
Right.
But it's too formal. It's too religious. Yeah, well, I can understand your opinion on that. But I was reading one article today. You know, we get so caught up with the busyness of all the stuff that goes on here for Christmas. You know, a little formal liturgy that you read on a weekly basis, probably a good thing, because otherwise we wouldn't do it. Anyway, we do Advent at home, and we do it at church. And then he'd do a hanging of the green ceremony. Have you ever seen one of those?
I have not.
Okay. A hanging of the green ceremony is where you go to church one evening or one morning, and during the church service, the church is decorated. So as you go through the church service, you would talk about things like the Christmas tree and the history behind the Christmas tree and why we use a Christmas tree for Christian celebration. Yes, I understand it has pagan roots, but there's a lot of Christian tradition behind it as well. And then kids would go up and decorate the Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. And then you talk about the wreath, and wreaths would be hung all throughout. So you go into the service, and it looks like a normal church. By the end of the service, all the decorations are put up. It's a beautiful service that brings out so much meaning for all of the greenery, the wreaths, the lights, the candles. Everything that's associated with Christmas decorations is given scriptural, biblical meaning during the service. And I love those services. And my dad's one of the few pastors I ever knew who actually took the time and effort to prepare and do them, because it took a lot of work. You had to get a lot of volunteers from the church, and what you do is you prepare everything ahead of time. So during the service, you know, you just hang it up, and so it took a lot of work. But man, it was fantastic. My dad just had so much, I don't know, he had so much reverence and joy for the Christmas season and the Easter season, you know, any of these celebrations. And he just brought so much passion to it as a pastor and as a dad at home that those are some of my warmest memories.
Hmm. That's really interesting to me, just how you were talking about the Christmas tree and how there was biblical meaning behind it, even though, as you said, you know, it does have pagan roots. But that reminds me of a lot of things with Christmas, whether it be caroling or the Christmas tree, or, you know, just really even the date of Christmas has pagan roots to it. And so I kind of want to hear people's opinion on that as well, just because there's so many things that just in our culture, whether it be with Easter and, you know, the Easter bunny or, you know, Christmas trees or anything like that. But Christmas specifically, there's so many ways that these things can mean more than just what they came from. You know, the Christmas tree for you guys and the wreaths. And, you know, for me, those have special meaning just because it brings family together. And so just to be able to hear how those things make people's Christmas special to them, Christmas trees, wreaths, caroling, really anything. We'd love to know about it, really. So if you guys have anything like that you would love to share with us that just really makes Christmas special for you, just call us in at Raw Talk, 505-338-5790, and let us know about it.
Even if you have a favorite Christmas song, we can play a little clip of that. If you saw, you know, why is it special to you? Any of your traditions, why are they special? What makes Christmas special? People forget that so easily. You know, the other thing that my dad did that I always loved was a Christmas Eve candlelight service. And again, a lot of churches don't do this much anymore, which, you know, with the hanging of the greens, Advent, and the Christmas Eve candlelight service, you just don't find that a lot anymore, which kind of bugs me. I'm sad to say, people, yes, I'm a little bit annoyed about that. The churches don't do that. And again, it goes back to some of those reasons that I mentioned. Oh, it's too formal, it's too, you know, religious, it's too liturgical, it's not an ordinance of the Bible, blah, blah, blah. You know what? Man, those Christmases when my dad did those things had a profound impact on me as a kid. I will never forget them. And it really birthed in me a reverence and a joy for the season. And the Christmas Eve candlelight service, no one ever did them quite like my dad. And I can't say what made it different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the typical things. You know, the hymns, a brief sermon usually, the candles, mm-hmm. you all light them, you all sing Silent Night with the candles lit, you know. But there's something about the way my dad orchestrated it all as a pastor that I just have such warm, glowing memories. Maybe that was the candles of just how special those times were. And I love the fact that my dad got so into those types of moments. And then ever since I moved out, I've always wanted to go to Christmas candlelight service.
Mm-hmm.
Really hard to find.
Don't really have them, no.
Yeah. And so one of the first years me and my wife were married, we looked everywhere for a Christmas candlelight service. We called churches. Our church wasn't doing one, and we called, couldn't find one. And finally, we stumbled upon a church that was doing one, and we go there. It's this little tiny church in like one of those strip mall areas up in the Northeast Heights. You know, anyway, they had a church in there. We go in there, and I'm not kidding. There's like seven people there, and which made us feel really self-conscious because we're the only people there who didn't go to that church. It was like, hey. Welcome. Oh, hi. We're just kind of hoping just to sneak in unnoticed, but with this many people,
that
that's not going to
happen in small churches ever.
That's not going to happen. Okay, nice. Yeah, thanks. And, you know, they were super friendly to us, which was nice, but we're kind of like, you know, we just kind of wanted to come to church and go home. And, like, we met everybody, which wasn't hard to do. But the cool thing was, okay, it was seven people, but, if I remember correctly, my wife will probably correct me when I get home. I can kind of remember the people there were kind of disappointed that more of their church members didn't come.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of had things planned differently. And the pastor basically said, hey, you know what? Since it's just us, we're not going to do what we plan to do. And he just busted out his guitar. They lit some candles. And we spent an evening without a sound system. We just sat in our chairs. He played his acoustic guitar. And we sang some carols. And lit our candles, and I remember that being a great evening because it was so small and intimate, and you know we didn't know those people,
mm-hmm.
But we were the family of Christ, and that was still.
Right.
And so the reason I bring that up is because if it hadn't been for my dad and the way he birthed in me such a reverence for Christmas Eve and the excitement of oh I love candlelight service,
mm-hmm.
I never would have experienced that. Because, you know, I'd be like, Christmas Eve, you know, we'll just go home, we'll open up some presents. But I just had this need to go out to a Christmas candlelight service, you know? And, man, it was fantastic.
You know, I'm curious, because I know that there are a couple things that we did when I was younger, namely traditions that have carried on, like the Christmas tree and the hanging of the ornaments and everything. But I know that there are a lot of people who have maybe one-time memories that have kind of affected who they are during Christmas time. I know for me, I have a couple memories that really aren't the happiest. I remember it was my turn one year to play Santa Claus when we were passing out gifts. And unfortunately for me, we had a wood-burning stove right next to the Christmas tree.
You didn't catch on fire, did you?
I didn't. Close, though. I remember reaching for the ornament and for some reason, I mean, I was really young, but for some reason I decided it would be a good idea to put my hand on top of the wood-burning stove.
No.
With, you know, while the fire had been burning for hours. Obviously, that was not the happiest Christmas for me. I remember.
But it was seared in your memory.
That was funny, yo.
Thank you. I'll be here all night.
But, you know, I know that there are memories like that that maybe aren't traditions, but one-time memories that people might want to share that would be interesting, I think, because I know there's that one. I remember my siblings and I went Christmas caroling this one time, just door-to-door in the neighborhood that my parents are in. And it's just those little things like that have made past Christmases special, even if they aren't traditions, namely. So I don't know. Is there anything like that for you, Yo, that stands out? Maybe one-time things?
You know, I have a lot of one-time things. When you have a family like mine where we lived all over the world,
mm-hmm.
and then you had, you know, so many siblings, that we had a lot. But to touch on the issue of Santa Claus, I have my Santa hat here.
I forgot mine.
My parents always taught me, and actually, you know, if you guys got some memories, don't let us take up all the time. 505-338-5790. We're running out of time for you to share your memories of why Christmas is special to you. So do take the time to call in, 505-338-5790. Anyway, growing up, my parents never taught us to believe in Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they didn't want us to believe in someone, and then later on, oh, just kidding, he's fake. And but God, you know, the other guy who knows everything, who sees you when you're sleeping,
right.
who you can't see,
one,
is invisible.
One isn't real, one is.
Right. But
right.
God is Santa Claus? No. God, yes. and so they decided, you know, they weren't. But we still, quote unquote, played Santa.
Yeah.
You know, we knew that he wasn't real, but we played Santa. You get presents from Santa on the tree. You know, it's like, it's from Santa. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. You know, like, okay, it's from either mom or dad, or maybe one of my uncles, but I know it's not from Santa because he's not real. Anyway, one year when I was young, I remember, you know, this has been going on. One of our good friends showed up at our house dressed as Santa.
Interesting.
And it was one of my earliest crises of faith.
Oh.
My mom, the way my mom tells it, like my face was just dropped, like,
he does exist.
Yeah, that's basically what happened.
It's like an M&M commercial.
It was like something from Elf.
Yeah.
Santa! He's real! I mean, because this guy had the body type and everything, and he showed up and gave us some Christmas presents and left. And I was like, oh, I can't believe Santa came to our house at 10 a.m. in the morning on Christmas Day. Well, it wasn't really Santa. It was just our friend John. No, it was Santa. And so for about a month after that, my mom had to redo all the work all the work that she had done. And then, you know, I was talking with our friend John after that, and he was saying it was pretty funny because he actually parked down the street and walked to our house and just showed up. Ho, ho, ho. And he was saying he got honked at a lot walking to our house because
people were excited.
Yeah, they're like, beep, beep, ah, it's Santa. And,
because he's not supposed to come where you're sleeping.
Yeah, I know, right? I never picked up on that part, that he came at 10 a.m.
Right.
As opposed to,
right.
I just thought I was special. I was like, Santa likes me so much. He came when I was awake. I was a really good boy.
I don't think it works that way, yo.
Yeah, sorry. I had a little trouble with that. Mm-hmm. But it's a memory as a kid. You know, and I think the reason it sticks out so much to me is that whole, you know, what do you tell your kids
right.
about Santa Claus? What do you do with Santa?
Right.
And just how my parents worked so hard, and in like 30 minutes, all that work was undone.
Right. Well,
by a well-meaning neighbor who just wanted to have some fun.
Right. Well, that's very interesting. Actually, you know, I know we're sharing a lot of our stories. I'd really like to hear from some other people, too. Just
we'll get to you, Margo. Hold on.
Traditions, stories, favorite Christmas carols, any of that stuff. Please call in 505-338-5790. And right now we do have Margo on the line. Margo, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
I was calling to share about our experience with Candlelight Service, too. I grew up in California, and we went every year to Candlelight Service, and our church did luminaries, which here in New Mexico they're called luminarias, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But my family's job was always to set up the luminaries the night of Christmas Eve before the service, and that was a really special time, setting them all up, the real ones with the lights and the paper bags and the sand, and I just remember it being really hard to make them all stay lit and all work all at once. But that was a really special time, just going to the Christmas Eve service together, and we always ended with Silent Night. And my mom cried every year, and my brother and I thought that was really silly. But now, as an adult and sharing that with my own family, it makes me want to cry thinking about all the lights being lit and everyone singing together and just worshiping the Lord together.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it interesting how all those things that we remember doing as a kid that we kind of thought, oh, man, this takes up so much time, that now as an adult we appreciate so much that our parents took the time to do with us every year? I mean, don't you find that fascinating? Yeah. I love the fact that my parents did so much. You know, I'll be honest, I was impatient because I wanted to open presents. But today I just appreciate it so much because I know it is what my parents did this time of year at Easter, all throughout the year, that helped shape the type of Christian that I am today and help me appreciate why Christmas is special. Thanks so much for sharing that, Margo.
Uh-huh.
You have a Merry Christmas, all right?
You too.
And have fun lighting those luminarias.
Uh-huh, right. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I want to share a Christmas song of mine that is really special to me. Now, my favorite Christmas carol is O Holy Night, and part of that is I just love the reverence of it.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me want to worship at
right.
Christmas. However, there's another one that Michael W. Smith actually did on his second Christmas album called Christmas Time that, for me, is not only reverential, but it captures the joy and the triumph of the season. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can ask my family. Every year when we bust this album out, I'll put it on, I'll crank it up until the windows are rattling,
right.
And I'll be standing there in the middle of the living room pretending like I'm a conductor. And, you know, just I get the goosebumps and the shivers.
At the
yeah.
Top of your lungs.
Oh, I just, because it just gets me so amped. It's like, mm-hmm. This is what makes Christmas special, because it was the most triumphant moment mm-hmm. in all of history, aside from the crucifixion and resurrection.
Right.
God entering our world in the flesh, mm-hmm. in the form of a baby. It doesn't get any more joyful and triumphant than that. So I wanted to share this with all of you as we get ready to celebrate that triumphant evening that is not that far away now. Just a little sample of it for you, and I love the way it sounds. It gets me all stoked.
That was about to get me all psyched up in here. I was about to start tapping on the bottom of the counter.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, 505-338-5790, we have one more copy of The Night Before Christmas and A Christmas Carol to give away to someone who has a favorite tradition, memory, why Christmas is special to them, that we'd like to give away from Steve Skelton, who really draws out the Christian meaning. This is very interesting, Mandy.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about The Night Before Christmas.
Right.
And he says that historically, it is because of that poem, The Night Before Christmas, that we today can celebrate Christmas as a religious holiday.
Hmm, interesting. How does that work? Exactly.
Well, it's a long and complicated story, but the short version of it is before it was written, Christmas was traditionally a drinking holiday.
Right.
And caroling was traditionally a drinking tradition.
I remember talking to you about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it got to a point where it was so bad, mm-hmm. where most people were getting ready to write off Christmas as mm-hmm. anything that any good Christian should associate with. Well, along comes this seminary professor who writes the story The Night Before Christmas. And one quick distinction, he doesn't write about Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
He writes about St. Nicholas, mm-hmm. very intentionally.
Right.
And Steve Skelton explains that in the story. Well, what this poem did was bridge the lower class that usually celebrated Christmas as a drinking holiday
mm-hmm.
to the upper class who traditionally celebrated it as a religious holiday. And it brought those two sides of it together. And as this poem was published over and over again in the following years, that it eventually changed how people celebrated Christmas.
Mm.
Because of the story, and it's a long explanation
right,
of why.
Right.
Well, when Grant became president, Christmas had become so associated with religion and giving and kindness and charity, all those things that we associate with it now,
mm-hmm.
and had ceased to be traditionally a drinking holiday, that Grant was finally able to acknowledge it as a federal holiday because of its religious context, which came partly due to the catalyst of this poem, The Night Before Christmas.
That's such a great reminder to me just about how God can take things that, you know, maybe originally didn't begin as such a great thing. I know this has, you know, pagan roots way far back. Christmas does, the date does at least. And just to see how God can take something even as evil as the original holiday and turn it into something that is completely for his glory. Because really, we as Christians, we as, you know, a body of Christ and as families and and loved ones can get together and just glorify him. You know, it might not be the exact date of Jesus' actual birth, but we can celebrate it as that, and we can celebrate Jesus coming here for us. And it's just such an interesting reminder to me about how God can take everything and use it for his ultimate glory.
You know, I always tell people, hey, you know what? If you didn't know what my birthday was and you decided that instead of on my actual birthday, I was born June 22nd, which isn't my birthday, I wouldn't cease to exist.
Right.
Just because you didn't know when my birthday was. Mm-hmm. We have Chris on the line. Chris, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say about why Christmas is special, Chris?
Hey, yeah. We have a big family, and we like to gather around their newly put up Christmas tree, and we put out all the lights and drink hot chocolate and eat cookies and stuff. Mm. And we listen to that song, Christmas Shoes, and that's kind of one of our family traditions.
Well, that sounds like a very warm, fuzzy Christmas tradition, Chris. So you still do that today?
We didn't do it this year, We have in the past.
Well, that's good. And, Chris, thank you so much for sharing that. I do have a copy of A Christmas Carol and the Night Before Christmas Church Editions for you. So hang on, and we'll get that to you, okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time for this week's Raw Talk. Mandy, thanks for hanging out.
Oh, no problem. It's fun. I love Christmas.
Yeah, me too. So are you ready for 2009? You think we can pull off this Raw Talk thing together now?
I think it's going to be very interesting, but I think it's going to be good.
I think you're right. Next week on Raw Talk, we are going to talk about prophecy, the ministry of prophecy. And as you know, as we get ready for a new year, everyone's mm-hmm. interested in prophecy. Well, this might be a slightly different spin on it than you're used to, but fascinating nonetheless. And something I think will really encourage people, especially as we get ready for Christmas mm-hmm. and the new year. And then in January, we got a lot of good stuff planned, don't we, Mandy?
Yes, I'm very excited.
I am excited for the new year's.
That's right. Going on.
It's
going
to be a surprise. It's going to be awesome. Well, Mandy, you have a Merry Christmas.
And you as well, yo.
Thank you. And Mandy will be joining us on a regular basis starting in January as we kind of tweak Raw Talk just a little bit and mix things up a little bit more. Thank you, everyone who called in tonight. And I do want to end from Luke chapter 2. Verse 8, and it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" And the reason I wanted to share that for you is let's not forget the key thing. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. That is why Christmas is special. It was good news of great joy for all the people. And I think we can all agree. And the situation that we see all around us in our world today, the economy, everything else that's been going on, that is what people need to hear. Good news of great joy for all the people. Let's make sure we proclaim that loudly, boldly, confidently, and with a lot of joy this Christmas. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Hope you have a shway evening in the Lord, and we'll see you again next week for Raw Talk here on M88.